645-5841. What is that, everybody? 645-5841. What is that? That's the number of the tape store. CD Keter tapes and Judaica. They sell other stuff. Anybody want a menorah cheap? They're left with a few. Shaaretz Zion, 9 p.m. Monday nights. www.raymondbeta.com. Hundreds of people have signed up. Hundreds haven't. So I guess some people like it, some people don't. Tonight's subject I find very deep. So I speak about it very often. So if you think it's an old class, it's not. In fact, I didn't finish it in time. So I hope it comes out right. If we ask somebody to summarize the life of Avraham Avinu, Alav HaShalom, we would probably write a biography chronicling a life of constant difficulty. It was like one crisis to another. Charlie, by the way, Eddie, by the way, it's a paper. Either you're here or you're not here. It's disturbing. Our sages, on the other hand, say, in Pirkei Avot, Asara nisyonot nitnasa Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom v'amad v'chulam. The Pirkei Avot says 10 tests. Avraham Avinu underwent 10 tests and he withstood all of them. So the difference between what I said initially and the way it's described in Pirkei Avot is I called it difficulties and I called it crises, and Pirkei Avot calls it tests. And it was through these tests that Avraham Avinu, alav ha-shalom, was elevated to the highest spiritual level possible. Now, that would be a great lesson for Lech Lecha, maybe, or something like that. And here we are in Vayechi. So what has it got to do with it? Nothing. But I'm into this subject this week, so you'll have to bear with me. This that we say about Avraham Avinu, we could say about everybody who inhabits this planet. Every Jew anywhere on this earth, in his daily life, is oftentimes stuck in one of these messes called a test. The problem is, the person who's in it doesn't see it that way. And what we're going to try to do tonight is drive this point home, so that when each of us is confronted again, we'll be able to look at it as, you know what that is? This is a test. You got to hear that sound as you go through your daily life. It used to have it more, but now with Osama and his friends, maybe they'll put it back on the radio. You know, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. I grew up with that. So whenever I hear the words, this is a test, that's exactly what I think of. Because we have to understand, it wasn't only Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom who underwent tests. Misilat Yesharim, the Musar Sefer, opens up and tells us, call in Yinei HaOlam Hazeh, this world, this creation, is a test site. Whether ben tov, ben mutav, whether it's good or bad, whatever happens, hinehem nisyonot la'adam. It's a test. Nimsenu lemedim, says the Mesilat Yesharim. We learn. Ki ekar mitziut ha'adam ba'olam hazeh. Excuse me. The essence of the existence of a person in this world, hu rak lekayem mitzvot, is just to perform God's commandments. And watch this next phrase. Most people have read Mesilat Yesharim at least once in their life, which he says doesn't pay, because you have to read it many times. The la'avor, the la'amod, b'nisayon. To undergo and to pass tests. So the more one studies the intricacies of this creation called the world, the more one realizes there's nothing called nature. Instead, everything's a miracle. Everything is God-driven. Everything is as He wants it at this moment. And if He doesn't, it won't be like that in the next moment. And the more someone studies creation, the more one will realize that all of your difficulties are merely tests. And that's tonight's subject. I usually don't tell you that early. I'm changing my style. And the purpose of tests, as we've discussed so many times here before, Leman Anotecha, Hashem put Bnei Yisrael in the desert through the ringer many, many times. Leman Anotecha, in order to make you suffer, Ulman Nasotecha, and also in order to elevate you. That's a spiritual elevation. In fact, all the great leaders we have were tested in minute details. That's why Moshe was a shepherd, to see how he treats sheep, which are not that important. David HaMelech was also a shepherd. The Midrash tells us, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem doesn't noten gedula l'adam, make a person great or give him a position of high esteem, ad shebedakuhu b'davar katan, until he tests him with something small. And then, ahar kach ma'aleh l'gedula, then he raises him to something great. The Midrash Rabbah says, ashrei adam she'omed b'nisayon, how fortunate or praiseworthy is the person who withstands a test, or passes a test, as we say in America. She'en adam she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaseh oto. Listen to that. There is no one that is exempt from testing. En adam she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaseh oto. So a person has to realize that when a person serves Hashem, when he's not showering you with all things good, those deeds done in his service in the hard times, in the times that seem bad or tough, they're very chashuv to the person. Because those acts list them as a chassid, someone who has done the ultimate in service to God. When the people left Egypt and they went into the desert with hardly enough provisions for a day or so, and with millions of people of all ages just going out, and Hashem said, so let's go. The prophet says, Zachati lach chesed urayich. I remember when you did a chesed to Hashem. Lechtech acharayim midbar. You went out into the desert with nothing. It was a giant test. No water. Hardly a few matzahs. Sirurot b'simnotam ha-shechman, like hobo packs on their shoulders. They had more money than food. Can't eat money. But Hashem calls it a chesed. So it turns out that someone who passes a test that's dished out by Hashem and really performs under trying circumstances is like someone doing a chesed for Hashem. Tzarich ha'adam lismoach im nisyonot. A person should be jumping for joy when they're tested. Because when it gets tough, the smallest deed is magnified millions of times, and it enables the person to rocket propel themselves to levels they would not otherwise be able to reach. So tests should not be seen as difficulties. They should be seen as joyous moments of opportunity. The Chafetz Chaim says, there's a very famous parasha, the parasha of the Nevi Sheker, the prophet, the false prophet. Ki yakum b'kibecha navi yochalim chalom. A person comes and claims to be a prophet, or he dreams a dream. Not only that, he could do tricks, like wondrous deeds, miracles. You know, Moshe came, he put his hand under his arm, it became Mitzorat, he put it back, it became healthy, he threw water on the ground, it came back. But say somebody came along today and said, I'm Mashiach, and they pulled the tricks of Moshe. No, I won't call them tricks, the miracles of Moshe. Rashi says on that pasuk, if it's a Navi Sheker, why did Hashem give him the power to do wondrous miracles? Let him throw the water on the ground, let it stay water, and nobody will believe him. We submarine the guy. Nobody be fooled by this person from the Sitra Achara, the other side. Says Rashi, Mipenema noten lo hakadosh baruch hu memshala la'asot ot. Why does Hashem give him the capacity, the capability to do wondrous signs? Ki menase Hashem elokechem etchem. Because God is testing you. He's got to put you to the test. So if this guy throws the water down and nothing happens but a puddle, like if I threw the water down, you're not tested. But if he throws the water down and it turns into oatmeal or blood or frogs or snakes, now we have to deal with it. We have to question what to believe. We're being tested. So the Chafetz Chaim comments on this. So he says, when Hashem wants to test the Jews, azai masliach bidei hamordim, he gives success to those who rebel, ad kedekach, even to the point sheosim otot umofetin, that they're able to do wondrous deeds. And not only that, mikol sheker, of course, if he gives them the power to these kinds of deeds, mikol sheken shematzlichim hatzlacha arzid b'inyanim gashmiyim mekadome. Basically what he's saying is the wicked succeed because Hashem wants them to succeed so that we will have to question their validity. Because it seems like people succeed know what they're doing. And maybe I should trust them. Maybe I should believe them. but they're saying things that don't sound right. So maybe I shouldn't. And that becomes a test of faith. And it's known, says the Chafetz Chaim, that in the days preceding the arrival of Mashiach, the people of Israel will be tested in very difficult tests. The prophet Zechariah said, "Utsraftim kitzrof akasef." They will be purified like the metal silver being run through a kiln or something. I forget what it is. It's a thing that heats up the silver to get out the impurities. "Ubehantim kivchon azahav," and I'll test them the way we test the grade of gold, 18 carat, 24 carat, etc. In order to test the good people, as meromem Hashem et ha'ozvim darko, Hashem gives success to the bad guys. My favorite new word, to the evildoers. The evildoers succeed, and we have to ask why. Why does He let them succeed? In fact, the prophet Malachi says, "As nidbiru yireh Hashem ish et ha'yad." Then the God-fearing people will get together in groups and start asking and questioning. Hey, what's going on? What should we do? I don't understand. What's az nidbiru? At the time when the wicked succeed, we get all befuddled, start asking questions. Our faith starts to tremble a little bit. And we start to shake. Maybe, just maybe. No, don't ask that question. You have to be strong. You know how we become strong? We open our eyes and say, "Wait a minute. Beep. It's a test. There's no room for questioning the success of the wicked. Because it's very simple. Ki menaseh Hashem otanu. Hashem is testing us. Im anu ohavim et Hashem b'chol levavenu chol nafshenu. We say it over and over. B'chol nafshicha, b'chol. We always say it. Do we mean it? And says, promises the Chafetz Chaim. V'im rak na'amot. If we just stand steadfast. Az yishuatenu u'gulatenu. Kirova. Then our salvation, our redemption is at hand. Just about 100 years ago, a little bit less, Chafetz Chaim wrote these words. "V'adivarim amurim biyoter." And these things that I've just told you apply even more so al zman hanochachi, at the present time. She'anu ro'im, that we see b'hatzlachat resha'im laharos et ha'olam kulo. We see the success of the wicked, of the evildoers, to destroy the entire world. With all that goes on, he saw the rise of the wicked in the late 20s and early 30s. Al yipol ruchenu bekerbenu. We can't let it get us down. Ki minaseh Hashem otanu. Hashem is testing us. Im na'amod debrit. Are we standing steadfast? And we love Hashem with all our hearts. Chafetz Chaim. Not so long ago. Very applicable altar right now. How do you do it? Well, you know my favorite subject. You have to learn Musar. You have to study ethics. You have to study the books that talk about Hashkafa, the way to look at things, the way to deal with things. And that will help us to deal with what's going on day to day. But Musar today is not like it once was. At one time, Musar was a quickie, by the way, before my seder, before I go to sleep, 5 minutes. 15 minutes. Some yeshivas up to 20 now. But the truth of the matter is, it's a subject that has to be studied with the same intensity and the same difficulty and the same toil as any other area of Torah, because now is a time where Musar will lead us to the answers we need. Kiminaseh Hashem Otanu. Because He's testing us. Because only through the difficult, concerted effort to study Musar will we be able, in the words of Rav Mordechai Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Kaleh Lo, a person will have a revelation. She'en Tzarot. And he had a very difficult life and poor health. She'en Tzarot. There is no misery, there's no troubles. Or Gezerot, there's no bad decrees. Rak Nisyonot. There's only tests. And he goes so far to say, so far as to say, Tzarich Ladat, we have to know, Shematzav Ruach Shefela, Eno elachet. Getting down, getting depressed, is a sin. So how do we behave? Let's talk about how do we behave at the time of being tested. The best place to learn that is the Torah. And the one listed as the man tested is Abraham. So if we go back to the life of Abraham Avinu, let's see how he handled tests. And we'll study how he did tests. And then maybe we'll understand how we're supposed to behave. Go through the life, which I won't do now. Think of him leaving his land to end up in a famine. To leave the famine to go to a country where his wife is abducted. To come back to his country to have a problem with the Pilishtim and Avimelech. His wife is abducted a second time. To end up in a war to try and save his kidnapped nephew. To have his son Ishmael give his wife Sarah hard times until he has to expel his own son from the house. Think of his wife Sarah unable to bear children, even though Hashem promises you will have a child called Yitzchak and he will be your heir. And think of finally having that child and being happy and spending 37 years training him to be the biggest Talmid Chacham of the day, and then be told, go slaughter him. Only to come back happy that Hashem said, that wasn't the test. I just wanted to see if you'd show up to find your wife dead. Because she heard the news. Test after test after test after test after test after test. Not a calm day. How did he react? He never, ever complained. He never said a word. He never complained. You know why? Besides being able to figure out all the mitzvot of the Torah without the Torah being given, which is amazing, besides being able to fight the trend of the time and the fashion of polytheism and to come up with monotheism, that there's one God, and figure out who it was and actually communicate with him. But he knew the secret of Olam Hazeh, this creation, this world. He knew it was a test. And he knew a test has a purpose to elevate. And it's best for the person. And the one who is tested is better off than the one who is not. Moshe Rabbeinu was tested. Hashem sends him. He tells him, Moshe, I want you to go to Mitzrayim. I want you to take out the Jews. Go before Paro. Tell him to let my people go. Tell him the time has come. Do these signs. Get the people on your side. Ba, 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 ba. He goes, what happens? Paro takes away the straw. He doubles the quota. Da, 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 da. Things get bad. So the Jews come and complain to him. So Moshe Rabbeinu, really out of the goodness of his heart, out of his sensitivity for other people, probably in the next few weeks, you'll hear a lot of classes on Noseh Be'ol, because we're going to come to Shemot, and they're going to get the greatness of the Jewish leader, is that he's Noseh Be'ol, that he cares for the other person like it's himself, even more than himself. So that was Moshe's motivation. So he turns to God and says, Lama hareota lama zeh, why did you make it bad for them? You sent me, and you didn't take them out. Hashem tells him, now you're going to see Asher Eseh leFaro, what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. What does Rashi say over there? Most people tell you he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael because he hit the rock, or didn't speak to the rock, or spend a month on that parasha and try and figure out what the sin was. But he did something that day by the rock and the water, and Hashem says, because you didn't make Kiddush Hashem, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Not you and not Aharon. Right? Rashi. Hirharta al midotai. You question my actions. You thought, you doubted me. Lo ke Abraham. Not like Abraham. Moshe's failure of the test. Not that I can judge it, according to what Rashi says. Lo amad nisyono hirharta al midotai. You had second thoughts about my conduct of what's going on. And his punishment was, he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Ata tereh, now you're going to see what I do to Mitzrayim, but you're not going to see what I'm going to do to the 31 kings of Canaan. We see an amazing principle here. Hirharta means doubted in your mind. You thought, you questioned. Hirharta. You know, Hirhur Teshuvah is an inkling of a thought of Teshuvah. Hirharta. And because Hirharta, because you weren't like Abraham, Avinu, Alav HaShalom, who never even doubted in his mind for one second, that he just keeps going, it's only a test. I keep going, I know it's for my own good. But because you didn't, you know what I learned from here? It's not only a sin, it's not only punishable to complain about God's conduct. You can't even think and question. Hirhur is asur. Person has to get used to the fact that it's a test. But Baruch Be'er, one of the greats of Europe before the Holocaust, was once walking home from synagogue on Rosh Hashanah between the Musaf prayer and the Mincha prayer for the short break that we get that day. And he was walking with another rabbi, and he let out a yell, "Oi!" And the rabbi said, "What?
Why are you yelling on Rosh Hashanah, such a happy day, but it's a day of judgment, but we're dressed for Yom Tov, we're going home to eat. He said, I was just thinking how much we have to delve into the situation that Avraham Avinu dealt with at the time of the Akedah. Everybody spent time studying the Akedah and all the Midrashim, of all the different tricks that the Satan, you know, it was 3 days they were walking. Not 3 days on vacation. 3 days of the Satan coming and trying all kinds of ways to undermine the success of Abraham's test, to make him question God, to make him question the validity of his own prophecy, to have Yitzchak question him and maybe give in to the question of Yitzchak, to put a river in his path so maybe he couldn't cross it. You know something, I tried to go, but the bridge was out. No, law hid here. Never did he have a thought to question. He just kept on going. But you know, I read and said in the beginning of Mesilat Yesharim that kol inyaneh, all matters of this world are tests to the people. Who was tested here today? You were tested? Good, good. You were tested. It's not a big percentage. Did you leave your house today? Did you turn on your radio today? Did I ever use a TV today? That other thing, you know, the TV. Did you go online today? Did you read a newspaper or magazine today? You were tested. You were tested. It doesn't take much to be bombarded with things that are negative to Torah, negative to the morality that's expected of the Yehudi. Doesn't take much, doesn't take long. You don't have to go far. You could stay in your bedroom. You could pipe it in. Early in the morning, he's on foul mouth. You know the one I mean. Don't listen. Start with numbers over 7 on your radio. It doesn't take long. Doesn't take much. Just trying to get a little information on what's going on in Eretz HaKodesh. And you probably hear an advertisement on the radio. That's disgusting. And what are you supposed to do about it? It's a test. The way people dress is a test. Store windows are a test. Magazines are definitely a test. The test of this generation to try and remain true to Judaism, the true, pure Judaism, is greater than that of previous generations. Because the people amongst whom we live have degenerated to a level far below that of people of other generations, where things that were forbidden in my father's time, when he was a teenager, are not only allowed today, they're recommended for teenagers, only forbidden to children 8 years old. Words that couldn't be spoken in public are now on the air and in print, in the finest newspapers and the most sophisticated intellectual magazines. And pornography doesn't mean something you have to hide under the bed, because it stares at you from all over the place. Bus stops, subway, that banner on top of the subway. Anyway you go. So now I have a proposal to make. I'm going to give you all a compliment. If you have the greatest test, then you're one of the greatest peoples that ever walked the earth. Because from this perspective, we have to be one of the greatest generations because we're put up against the greatest test and it's always balanced. There's a famous midrash on one of the pesukim, one of the verses of Eshet Chayil. Sheker achen vehevel ayofi, isha yirat Hashem hitetala. The Midrash tells us, Sheker achen calls it lies, untruths, is grace. It's talking about the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vehevel ayofi, vanity is beauty, is talking about another great Torah generation, the generation of Chizkiyahu. Isha yirat Hashem titara, the greatest praise is given to a daughter of a rabbi, maybe some you never heard of, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. And the Midrash explains why. That lesser known generation is considered so great. Because they had shisha b'talit echad. When they learned Torah and it was cold, they shared one blanket, one garment. One talit. They learned under trying circumstances. So the Midrash tells us, in the time of Moshe, when they lived in the desert, and they had man, and they had air conditioning, and they had a be'er following them around, and they had Moshe as a leader, and they were pretty much isolated from anybody else, nobody, not of pure Yichus, a descendant, could even come into the clouds. That's Sheker Achen. That looks beautiful, but it's a lie. And Hevel Ayofi is the time of Chizkiyahu, even the youngest child of the most difficult laws, because he supplied oil for all the Batei Midrash. It was known how much Torah was learned through the bounty that the king provided. You know, school vouchers and stuff. But when times were rough, when they didn't have heat, and they didn't have the proper garments, and they all got together and said, we don't care what the external circumstances are. We don't care that we're poor. We don't care that they're cold. We're going to be true to Judaism and study Torah. Isha yirat Hashem itetala. Today we live in a time of chutzpah. You go on a bus or a train, and you see the mother standing and her teenage daughter sitting. So often. I don't know, we weren't the greatest kids, but we always taught, you know, give the old lady a seat. And today, what was asur 15 years ago is mutar required. Because they teach it in the schools even. So now if we should accomplish, if we should pass the test, then our... You know what I read today? Do you know in World War II Europe, or just pre-World War II Europe, the Depression, when the boys were in yeshiva, like if one student in the entire yeshiva had a decent Shabbat suit, that would be really something fantastic. So that when they suggested a shidduch, a bazra, a match, and one of the boys had to go out on a date, they'd all borrow the same suit. I don't know how many alterations they did or who did them. But it was the only decent suit in the place. When a person is in comfort, it's hard to feel what's going on around us. But we must. We don't feel our society has dropped. You know, I have a friend, I'm proud to say is my friend. He runs probably the largest one of the largest boys' schools, especially for Sephardim in Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Brak. It's called Shtilei Zetim. His name is Rabbi Yehuda Zayat. He originally was a businessman in Mexico. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He tried several businesses, eventually opened up this place. Today he has upwards of 1,000 students. It's two twin towers of 8 stories each. He has a third building for younger children. It's an amazing institution. So he used to come to New York on a regular basis to collect money, like anybody else running a multi-million dollar institution. And he would come to my office, and we'd leave the office, and I got too busy to leave the office, and I'd call up and make appointments, and then I didn't have time to call up and make appointments. So he got smart. He called me up and he told me, I'm coming next week. I'm coming for only 5 days. Please set up a schedule for me. And on Monday morning, I'll come to your office. You'll give me the appointments with the addresses, and you don't have to leave the office. I'll keep them. I said, okay. When you're arriving? He says, I'm arriving on Friday morning. I said, well, that's silly. Friday morning, Shabbat, you don't work. Sunday, there's nobody knows. He says, no, I need the days around the synagogues and some local people. And then Monday, I'll go to the city. By Thursday, I'll be back on a plane home. So Monday morning, I'm sorry to say, I was derelict in my duty. I came to one of those Monday morning crises in the office. You know, you're expecting everything to be smooth. Hi, how was your weekend? Oh, no, look at this email. You know, it was before email in those days. But it was just a horrible kind of message. I got involved. All of a sudden, 10 o'clock, over the intercom, the young lady at the front desk says, Rabbi Zayat's here. Send him in. Hi, Rabbi, have a seat. How are you doing? Da, 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 da. A couple of niceties. He says, by the way, I wanted to change the plans. I said, what do you mean? He says, did you make any appointments? I says, no, I was going to call now while you're here and see, you know, what we'll do for tomorrow. He says, I'm leaving tonight. I said, what do you mean? You didn't do any work yet. If anything, you worked half a day on Friday. He says, yeah, I did do half a day on Friday, but I'm leaving tonight. I said, what do you mean you're leaving tonight? What about the yeshiva? He says, you know, it's hard for me to tell you. I've been coming here for years, and year to year, I feel what's going on in the streets around here. But this year, my neshama can't take it. The people in the neighborhood, in the garment district, have gotten so bad in morality. The way they look, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they hug and kiss on the street and do whatever they feel like, my neshama can't take it, so I'm leaving. I said, what about the money you came to collect? How are you going to live without it? He says, that's Hashem's job. I'm going home. But the point he made to me was, one line he said, and this is at least 10 years ago, so you can imagine what he would say today. He said to me, you live here, you can't see it. I come year to year, I see the change. We live here, we don't see it. But when I think in perspective to 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I can see it. So we have to strengthen our emunah to handle this, and we have to strengthen our ability to pass the test. So there's a great, great gemara on this, Baba Metzia, very famous, it's called Tanush Alachnai. Rabbi Eliezer and the rabbis have a dispute. The dispute is over a very technical question of Tumah and Taharah, spiritual purity and spiritual impurity, and I won't get into the gory details. But Rabbi Eliezer stands alone. His name is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. He's the greatest rabbi in the whole Beit Midrash. All the rabbis there are, so to speak, his students. And Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol says, it's tahor, pure. And all the other rabbis vote impure. So they want Rabbi Eliezer now to give in and say, okay, Yachid v'rabim alachak rabim. Majority rules. That's the Torah law. Achare Rabbim Latot. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, the halachas like me. And then he pulls off a beauty. He says, you see that carob tree outside the Beit Midrash? If the halachas like me, The carob tree is going to move 100 amot. That's approximately 150 to 200 feet. You got it. You guessed it. Beep. The tree gets up and walks 200 feet and stops. The rabbis don't buy it. He says, if the halakha is like me, you see that river going outside across the street from the Beit Midrash? Well, you think that's upstream, it's going to run the other way. Whichever way it's running, it's going to run the opposite way, if the halakha is like me. Beep. Test. The river changes course and runs the opposite way. The rabbis don't give in. He says, the kotale bet ha-midrash. Imagine if you're sitting in here, and I say, listen, you guys don't agree with me? I'm going to tell you something. See those walls? They're going to lean over like about to fall. And they're all sitting. And lo and behold, that's what they see. And nobody gives in. And finally, the ultimate test. He says, listen, I see you don't believe me. Heaven agrees with me. And a bat kol, a heavenly voice comes out and says, halacha, could it be Eliezer? The ruling is like Rabbi Eliezer. Now you gotta think a minute. The ruling is like Rabbi Eliezer. And you're all sitting in the Beit Midrash. Okay, which one is the tough guy here? He says, no. The Yoshua gets up on his legs. He stands up and says, Lo b'shamayim hi. Halacha is not in heaven. The Torah was given to us and Hashem said, Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. We have a rule to follow. And the rule is majority rules and we say tamid, tamid. There's a footnote on that. Rabbi Natan saw Eliyahu Navi. And he asked Eliyahu Navi, did you happen to be upstairs when that happened? Yeah, I was there. What was going on in heaven when the bat call from heaven came out and said, the halachas like him and we stuck to our guns? He said, Hashem looked down, he nodded his head with a big smile and said, my children have beaten me. They passed the test. He was very happy that they stuck to the rule of Torah in spite of everything that seemed to prove otherwise. Because they had a rule and they stuck to the rule. The Mashgiach, Rabbeinu Yerucham, gives us a yesod. When a person is struck with difficult times, things that are hard to understand, the first thought processes of the person is to try and figure out, hey, what's happening? What's going on here? Right? It's happened to everybody. This just doesn't make sense. Why me? Why now? Why him? Why us? What's going on here? Umitapech kol hatzedadim, and a person will analyze from every side of the coin. Ala kol yechashev, says the Mashgiach. A person considers everything. Umachashavazo, but this crucial thought, Sheme kola inyan hurak lenasot oto. Perhaps this is just a test. That's the one thing the person doesn't think about. That's a proof how far we are from the basics. the whole building is teetering because we don't have the basic. Says the Mashkiach, a paraphrase of what the Mesilat Yesharim opened this class with. Yesod kol ha'olam hazeh hu inyan shel nisayon. The whole foundation of this existence in this world is test. Chazal in that Bet Midrash, they saw amazing proofs to Rabbi Eliezer being correct. And you know what they said? Maybe it's a test. Our first thought, not our last thought, our first thought in every situation should be, perhaps heaven is testing me. Not that what I'm seeing is maybe different. You know, we try and talk ourselves out of it. The tree didn't move. It's an optical illusion. You know, the weatherman this morning said this river was going to change its path, of course. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it's true. We try and say that what happened is, I didn't see what I thought I saw, or I didn't figure it out right. No, wrong, wrong, wrong. What you're supposed to say is what I'm seeing is true, granted. And it's true that it's possible what I'm seeing. It's true what I'm seeing, except one thing. It's a test. It's not fake. It's real. But it's a test. The most fantastic thing is real, but it's a test. There's a pasuk in Yov. Mi hektimani vashalem. Who will precede me and I will pay? Well, very difficult to explain a pashat, but basically what they say is, before Hashem makes demands on a person, He gives the person what it takes to fulfill the command. For example, the Midrash tells us, before you're required to build that fence around your rooftop or your porch, He gives you a house. Before He asks you to put a tzitzit on a garment, He gives you the garment. Before He asks you to do a brit milah on a child, He gives you a son. So Hashem always gives you what it takes to do the mitzvah before He asks you to do the mitzvah. En menasim la'adam imlo shiitnu lo mikodem hayecholet sheyechol la'amod nisayon. They don't give a person a test until that person is given the wherewithal, the ability to pass the test. High Sinai is what was given to us to help us pass all tests. What do I mean? Moshe tells the people, what does he tell them? Al tiru, don't be afraid. You know why there's thunder and lightning and the world is shaking and you're all fainting and losing your souls? Ki leba'avun asot etchem. Hashem wants to test you by Elohim. And there's an ultimate purpose to that test. The ultimate purpose, ba'avur yirato al penechem lo titechetau. So you'll always have the fear of God, and you won't make sins. Ramban quotes Rambam. This is what Moshe is saying. I'll translate without reading it. We're running out of time. This that you're seeing, this that you saw, was so that Hashem can test you. But He wanted to let you know first who He was and what He was to give a basis for your belief. Then it's possible for Him to send a Navi Sheker, a false prophet, and you'll be able to withstand his tricks because you've already seen the truth once. Ki kivar item ha'emet be'enechem. Once you see the truth, you can handle the test. Ba'avur shiyuchal lenasot etchem la'atid ba'alukim atah. The whole Har Sinai Ilu kerevan of lehasin I belonatana to Torah. Would have been worth it because we would have seen God, understood light and truth, and be able to withstand sheker for the rest of creation. Hashem established Ma'amad Har Sinai to give us that koach, to give us that power. So Rabbeinu Yerucham concludes, once a person sees light, that second of clarity, he doesn't know at that moment that the purpose is to give him the truth and the strength to pass a test. But eventually, Hashem, la'achar mikan, at some later date, will come linasoto, to check him. And to see how is he going to behave when times are dark. So it turns out, says the Mashgiach, once you've been shown the truth, we have a new trick. Some people think like night is dark and day is light, right? Some of you think that. And it's two separate things. The Mashgiach is telling us, anytime it gets dark, which means anytime you don't understand, instead of forgetting what you saw when you saw clearly and did understand and believe, you have to combine the two incidents and say, I know not to believe the dark and stumble in the dark because I know what light is. It's very deep stuff. But it boils down to one statement. Menase Hashem Elokechem Etchem. With us, it's the opposite. When it gets dark, we don't think of the light times. It's the opposite. We get totally confused. The light is forgotten. The clarity is forgotten. The truth is forgotten. And we remain stumbling in the dark. And that's because we don't understand totally. Ki menase Hashem Elokechem Etchem. A light, clear view shows us the truth once so that we can see in the dark. But we unfortunately react in the opposite way. We nullify a moment of clarity and grope in the dark because we don't look at it as a test. After a person sees Hashgacha, and everybody has seen Hashem's providence somewhere, sometime. Every time I give a class on Hashgacha, people come up to me with stories. You don't know what happened yesterday, and you don't have the day before, and 2 years ago, and I was here, and I got. And everybody tells me stories because everybody feels it at one time or another. Rabbi Yechezkel Levenstein said, once a person sees Hashgacha Begalui, that becomes his test. But along with that vision, that becomes his power. After someone sees Hashgacha, it becomes the basis for some other test Hashem's going to test to see if you're now able to understand. But along with the test comes the power to pass it. We have to put them together. One time, Rabbi Mordechai Schwab needed something very badly. The doorbell rang. It was the postman. The postman handed him a letter. In the letter was exactly what he needed. He saw the Hashgacha Peratit. But unlike what we would do, he felt he wanted to eternalize the moment. So he took the envelope, put it on his mantle, and left it there for months. So he could always look at it. Say, Hashem's in charge. Hashem's doing it. Hashem's taking care. This could be part one of a two-part class. I could go deeper into this. But tonight's lesson, I could summarize with a story I told here once about a friend of mine. It was maybe 4 years ago. It was Rosh Chodesh Av. I remember the date. The first day of Av, that time when Mema'atin B'Simcha, the month of Tisha B'Av, the month of bad times for Jewish people. And a friend of mine got news that his wife had something in her head. And it was malignant. And I happened to be in the vicinity, and the summertime's pretty quiet. And I was one of the few in town. And I went to visit. We sat. We talked. And the initial shock had just hit. And that's when, like, when that C word is said, people crumble. It might as well be C for crumble. That's the normal reaction. And we sat and talked a little over an hour. I could see that they were really out of sorts, like imbalance. Couldn't get their feet on the ground and didn't know what hit them, as they say. When I got up to leave, the wife was sitting on the couch and the husband walked me to the door. And I said, well, if there's anything you need, you know, what do you say at a time like that? Anything, you know, you just call, you know, I'm available. I don't know what I could do, but, you know, if there's anything, you know, I'll babysit, you know, whatever you need. He put his finger up and he calmly said, I don't know what's going to be, but Hashem has our report card out and we are going to pass. Somewhere, somehow, that test was chosen for them. And Hashem had already given them the power to say, I know it's a test, and I'm going to pass. That's how we have to look at every difficulty in our lives. And remember, kol inyaneh, everything that happens. Is a test. Nothing is just by the by. It's a test. And everybody has to put in their minds, my report card is out and I'm going to pass. Got it? Good.